earthquakes, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come.
Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
We're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the founding of End Time Ministries. We knew that all of you out there would like to hear the story. We're calling it The Miracle Called End Time. Our first edition of The Miracle Called End Time covered from End Time's beginning to the fall of the Berlin Wall. That's where we will pick it up today. Joining me again today for this special program is my son-in-law, David Robbins, and his wife, and my daughter, Jana Robbins, as well as my one and only wife, Judy. We call it The Miracle Called End Time because we have, in fact, seen miracle after miracle. I promise you, if we had not seen many miracles, End Time Ministries would not exist today. We've reached places where we didn't know what to do and how to proceed, and sometimes having no finances. And God has done just incredible miracles. And that's the reason we felt like we had to call this The Miracle Called End Time. So yesterday we led up to the fall of the Berlin Wall, and that's where we're going to pick it up here today.
So in your last program, we ended off with the book you published in 1986, A Message for the President, which is a very unique title. Why did you call it A Message for the President?
Well, there was a reason behind it. Mm-hmm. I was reading an article about President Ronald Reagan, who was in office at the time, and he stated he had been studying the prophecies of the Bible and thought we might be the generation that would see the Battle of Armageddon. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, I was interested. So I thought, you know, if I would write this book and put in it things that I think a president of the mightiest nation on earth, things that he should know in order to govern in harmony with God's will, mm-hmm. that would be really something important. And I thought, you know, if I write this to President Reagan and all succeeding presidents, as far as that goes, the people of the world would probably like to eavesdrop. Mm-hmm. And so we just decided that we would call the book A Message for the President. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. And I tried to put in there where the United States is in the Bible. It was the first time we'd actually published that in book form. Mm-hmm. Other modern nations, also the coming one world government, and many other things that I felt like President Reagan needed to know.
Well, one of the neat things that I've heard so many times over the years, and one of the unique things about the book that really adds validity to the message that we teach here, was you published that the Berlin Wall was going to be torn down in 1986, and then what happens in 1989? But the Berlin Wall comes down.
Believe me, Dave, I was the happiest person on the planet.
I'll bet
the day that wall fell, because I think there were people waiting in the wings, just itching to label me a false prophet.
Right, right.
Because I've been teaching this since 1968. I think we talked about that in our last session. We had the magazine from Life magazine, March 29th of 1968, in which it states there that the division of Germany was like a rusty knife wound that must someday be healed. Well, I compared that to Revelation 13, mm-hmm. verse 1 through 3, and that's when I saw, I believed, absolute proof that that was going to be the fall of the Berlin Wall. Well, it also states in the Bible that when the deadly wound was healed, a lot of people have thought the Antichrist is going to be killed and raised from the dead.
Exactly.
But the passage doesn't say that. It says there's a beast with seven heads, mm-hmm. and one of the seven heads was wounded unto death. Until you can understand what the seven heads are, you can't possibly understand the scripture. And we did explain all that in the book, A Message for the President. So anyway, we published that in 86, and then President Ronald Reagan challenged Mikhail Gorbachev, and everybody's heard the statement,
right.
Mr. Gorbachev, if you believe in liberty like you say you do, tear down this wall.
Right.
Well, Gorbachev was not a man to back away from a challenge. And I thought, uh-oh. And I'd already written this, and it was published, and a lot of people has almost made fun of me, frankly. But when I heard him say that, I thought, uh-oh, here it comes. Mm-hmm. Well, then he left office, and President Herbert Walker Bush took office, and the progress continued toward the fall of the Berlin Wall, and I'll never, never forget November the 9th of 1989. I'm listening to the radio when the announcement comes on. The Berlin Wall has fallen. They've opened the gates, and they're letting the people come from East Berlin to West Berlin. Now, you got to realize there was around 2,000 people died trying to get across that wall.
Right.
I mean, there was one person that somehow connected a cable and rigged a device, and he actually got on there and rode a cable down and got across the wall. Mm-hmm. Others didn't make it, though. Right. There were people, they shot them, and they had glass embedded in the top of the Berlin Wall, so if you tried to get over it, it would cut your arms. There were guard dogs. It was mined. Mm-hmm. It was so hated. It was just considered a scar on the face of humanity.
Right.
And so everybody just hated the Berlin Wall and wanted it someday to come down. But the Soviet Union was keeping all these people in prison. They couldn't get out. Mm-hmm. They didn't want them to get out. But when that wall came down, the West Germans met the East Germans coming across and handed them, if I remember right, about $600. They were standing there handing out $600 per car, because everybody's honking their horn, and there were people dancing up on the wall, and there were other people with chisels and hammers. I mean, they had all this video footage. I suppose everyone has seen some of it, but one person even said it was like a Pentecostal experience the night the wall came down. So it was enthralling. Well, that wasn't all that happened, though.
Right.
Because when that wall came down, my phone started ringing. Judy was there. And I mean, all day long. I think I talked on the phone 7 or 8 hours straight that day. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had cauliflower ear when I got done. Oh. But everybody wanted to know, how did you know this? Where is this in the Bible? What does it mean? What's going to happen next? Of course, that's the beauty of Bible prophecy. And I told them what's going to happen next. Because the prophecy says that when that wall comes down and is healed, the whole world will wonder after the one world government beast.
Yep.
And, of course, I'm following the events just real, real, real close. And within 20 days of the fall of the Berlin Wall, Mikhail Gorbachev, Pope John Paul II, and George Herbert Walker Bush, who was president at the time, they all went to Malta, and they had a meeting there. Now, these were considered the top three leaders of the world.
Right.
Pope John Paul II, the leader of Catholicism, Mikhail Gorbachev, the leader of communism, and George Herbert Walker Bush, the leader of democracy in the free world. So they all met together, and they came out of those meetings announcing the birth of the New World Order. Now, I put it in my book. I actually used the term New World Order right here in this book that was published. But to happen within 20 days of the fall of the Berlin Wall, I'm the one that wrote it, and it almost shocked me, to tell you the truth. But it was an amazing time, and I realized right then that I had to really up my game.
Right.
And frankly, that's what motivated us to start End Time Magazine.
Exactly.
And the crazy thing is, Judy and I, along with our family, we went dove in to do things we didn't know how to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had never started them. I didn't know the difference between a web press and a sheet-fed press, let alone all these fancy presses they have today. And so I think, okay, I've got to start a magazine, because I felt like we had entered the end time, 1989.
Right.
We had crossed a marker in Bible prophecy. So I started going from printing house to printing house all over Richmond, Indiana, trying to figure out, how do you print a magazine? And I was taking tours, and some of them were kind enough to help me. I went in them nosing around, and so they were happy to show me their trade and how it all worked. And I'm reading all the magazines. I bought some magazine on how to produce this. And I mean, I know nothing. And yet I feel like I got an assignment from God, because I always knew that we needed a magazine that could keep people updated on a current basis as to how the prophecies were coming together. Well, I went out and started taking up donations for End Time Magazine. Well, actually, I got to tell you this, because this is one of the miracles.
Mm-hmm.
I was invited to speak before one of the committees of the denomination I belong to. Their whole goal was revival. And so this magazine, I wanted to be designed not for saved people, but for unsaved people. I wanted a magazine designed to help people establish faith and to be saved. So I went before this committee, and I told them what my dream was, and they got excited, and they said, we'll help you. There was about 16 of them in the room, and they all pastored significantly large churches. They said, how much money do you need to get started? And I just threw them a figure, $16,000.
Yeah.
Now, it's laughable now. But anyway, again, I was just functioning by faith, the best of my ability. And they said, tell you what, when you get the first edition ready to go to press, you call us. Matter of fact, the chairman of the committee, they said, you let him know and he'll send letters to all of us and we'll send the money. And I think they had committed to $1,000 apiece. So I thought $16,000, I can get this thing rolling. We'll get some subscribers. Well, I got the first magazine done. And by the way, the first magazine, I don't know, Dave, you might be able to.
Yep.
No, actually, the
first
plaque.
One.
Yeah. Hold it straight up and so that people can see it. Yeah, just like that. Because I put the picture of Mikhail Gorbachev on there with a sword through the throat of the Red Dragon. And the Red Dragon had just bust through the hole in the Berlin Wall. And so it was really depicting. I wrote the article about, has Gorbachev really killed socialism or communism? Well, it proved to be prophetic.
Right.
Because I didn't think he had. Because here he is, a dying-in-the-wall communist, and as the wall's coming down, he's clapping. Mm. I thought,
doesn't make sense.
What's the matter with this picture? And then within 9 years of the fall of the Berlin Wall, 13 of the 15 West European nations had elected of their own free will a socialist government. I said, wait a minute. I mean, the headlines, Newsweek screamed, socialism is dead, because supposedly capitalism had won the Cold War. And Cold War is over. Cold War raged for 40 years. Now it's over, and socialism has been discredited. Everybody's trying to escape from the Iron Curtain. And they said, socialism is dead. And all the time I published this magazine in 91, has Gorbachev really killed communism? And then 9 years after the wall fell, 13 of the 15 nations in Western Europe voted in a socialist government. I thought, what in the world? Well, Rupert Murdoch said it this way. He said, if socialism is dead, why won't it lay down? Mm-hmm. And of course, that said it very, very succinctly. Well,
you didn't finish your miracle.
So what happened was, my wife is, she's always there to help me out, because like she says, I didn't finish the miracle. What happened was, we got the magazine, the first one, ready to go to press. And so I told the chairman, I need the money. And so he sent the letters. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited. It's one thing for people to be enthused and say, yeah, I'll give. When you're in a meeting, it's another thing after the vision gets a little bit cold. So anyway, 1 year.
Right.
I'd gotten zero. So my wife, Judy, was saying, babe, be careful. You're getting ready to launch something here. This could bankrupt us. I mean, I'd done a few risky things before. I married her, for one. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
That's a good one.
Well, you wouldn't believe it, but when I asked her dad to marry me, for her to marry me, he chuckled. He said, all I can say is you got a lot of nerve. I should have known right then some of the things I was in for, but... Anyway, wonderful family, by the way. And I've never been sorry one day, actually. That's pretty good, 51 years. So what happened was, Judy was saying to me, now, babe, you're getting ready to take these risks, and you could bankrupt us.
Right.
So I'm in turmoil. I felt the Lord draw me to do it, but she was right. I had no money. And so I'll never forget the day I walked into my office was right off the church. So I walked into the church. There was no one there but me. And I began to pray. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, God, I thought sure you told me you want me to do this, but you haven't provided the money.
Right.
And I guess I'm just going to shoot the project because I don't have any money. And you know that Judy's concerned about it, and she's trying to use some common sense. And I felt the Lord speak to me that day. I'll never forget it. He said to my heart, I've prepared you all your life to do this. Would you like to stand before me on the judgment and say, I was afraid? God's got a way of putting things. And I said, okay, God, if you're going to put it that way, no, I don't want to do that.
No.
So I calculated that I could go in debt $10,000, and if it didn't work, we could cut our losses. We had good credit, and Judy and I would just pay out. And $10,000 back in those days, we're talking about close to 30 years ago, was a lot of money. And so we made a commitment. I walked out of the prayer meeting. I walked into our staff, and I said, we're going. We're starting the magazine. And they were all, of course, they were a hip, hip array because they didn't have to sign any notes or pay any bills. Or they were going to have to work hard. But anyway, but here's what was so amazing.
Yeah.
After 1 year receiving zero money, I went to the mailbox an hour later, and there was an envelope from a friend of mine, J.T. Pugh.
Yep.
And he said, here's $1,000 to help with the magazine. Well, I got maybe $300 or $400 in addition to that, but that's about all we got from that original promise. But really, it was like God said, I know where you are, and I know exactly what you've been praying about today, and here's what I can do. But I don't want you calculating. I want you walking by faith and trusting me.
Yep.
Well, it was so crazy because the plan I came up with was, when I look back, it was a terrible plan. I decided, okay, we're going to print 25,000 copies. I had traveled and taken up about 600 subscribers. So I'm going to print 25,000 magazines of that magazine. And my plan was to put a letter inside each magazine. We actually, this was hilarious, but we would stack up the letters and we would take a big glue stick and run down the side, and then we just stuffed the letters, and they stuck. And all it said was, here's your first copy of End Time Magazine. If you like it, send your subscription price. I think back then it was $14.95. Send your subscription price, and we'll send you another 11 issues. So we stayed up late at night, running glue sticks and throwing them in magazines and stuffing 25,000 volunteers from my church, the church we were pastoring.
All those pizza parties we had back then.
Oh, we fed people really well. Work all night and we'll give you a piece of pizza. Anyway, that's what we...
We'll work for food.
Yeah.
So, but the people were wonderful. The people that helped us, many of them have passed on to be with the Lord now, but still very fond memories. So anyway, we sent out the first edition of End Time Magazine,
mm-hmm.
and we got enough subscribers to pay the printing bill. I mean, I was like a dog chasing his tail, mm-hmm. you know, put a magazine together, you have it printed, get the subscribers in, take the money, go pay the printer, now print number two.
Yeah.
And well, we did that. And believe it or not, it took off.
Yep.
I think it took us 3 or 4 years, but we were up to 25,000 subscribers, just boom, like that. And I thought, oh my goodness, look what's happening. Well, anyway, that's the story of End Time Magazine.
Yeah.
And God provided all along the way. We had so much to learn, but God helped us all the way. It was an amazing experience that we had.
Yeah, now 25 years later, we're actually celebrating the 25th anniversary of that End Time Magazine. And it's the widest distributed prophecy magazine in the world.
Yeah, and this is our 30th anniversary here at End Time. But like you mentioned, it's the 25th anniversary of the nonstop publication of End Time Magazine.
Exactly.
And what a tremendous... And those deadlines roll around every 2 months, Dave, you know, because you're the editor. I'm the editor-in-chief. And we've got to produce those articles. And sometimes it's staying up half the night to get the thing done. But still, it's been worth it.
It has. It definitely has. So moving on down the timeline, because we could sit here and talk forever about each of these projects because they're a miracle. And when you experience something like that, it's so dramatic. And I wasn't here at that time, but I remember we got married in 88. And so I remember some of this stuff going on. And I thought, man, I'm glad I'm not involved in that, because you're taking huge leaps of faith. A lot of people simply can't do that. But, of course, that's what this thing's been built upon, and God has came through every time. So it's just such an awesome story. But so that we can get it done here, let's move along in our timeline. And the next thing you came to, once we moved on past the magazine, you produced one of the things that's close to my heart, because I teach Bible studies and stuff a lot, most of us do. And it's the teaching series that you came up with so that everybody could take these and go out and teach their own Bible study. So tell us a little bit about that, the Understanding the End Time teaching series you came up with.
Just before we go there, Dave, I want to remind everybody that this is the 30th anniversary of the miracle called End Time. And what we would like to ask you to do, if you're not yet a partner with End Time Ministries, because we got more work to do than we've done already, if you're not yet a partner, if you will become a partner for $30 a month, now that's not a lot of money. It's easy to go out to eat and leave $30 or more, needless to say. But if you would become a $30 a month partner, we have a documentary telling the story of what Dave is just now asked us to talk about. And that's the putting together of a series that has gone around the world and impacted hundreds of thousands of lives. Absolutely. It's called Understanding the End Time. Mm-hmm. This is a 30-minute documentary. I think you'll really enjoy seeing what's on here. Our staff did a wonderful job putting this together. So if you become a partner for $30 a month, you say, well, what if I say I'll give $30 and then something happens and I can't do it? Does that mean I'm going to hell? Of course not. You're just simply saying, if God will bless me where I can, I want to stand with you as a partner of End Time Ministries, because let me tell you, we got a world to reach and we got to get it done fast. Now, if you're already a partner and you would like to add $30 a month to an amount you normally contribute, then we will send you this as well. So it's just a wonderful little gift. I think will mean something to you. Celebrate our 30th anniversary of miracles, mm-hmm, here at End Time Ministries. Okay, now, take me back to where I need to be, Dave, because I just had to talk about that.
The production of the Understanding the End Time teaching series, it's been all around the world, like you said.
The level one.
Yeah. Well, what happened was, in my particular movement I'm a part of, one of the big ways to share the gospel was to go into the home and teach a Bible study. Mm-hmm. And we had a Bible study that went through the Bible, and it was effective and good. However, there was nothing, zero. There was nothing that out there could actually take a person through the prophecies of the Bible. So we put together a 10-lesson series, and we called it Understanding the End Time. We named it Understanding the End Time from the scripture in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 and 33. It says there that the Antichrist, when he comes, will corrupt many people by flatteries. But then it says, but the people that do know their God. Now, this is talking about the end times that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And then it says this, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the DVD set. This is a later production, but it's Understanding the End Time. We named it from verse number 33. They that understand among the end times shall instruct many. So we published this chart, and we published a manual to go with the chart, and people around the country begin to buy them, because the graphics are just stunning, and God helped us in so many ways. And speaking of miracles, I think we got to talk about this one, Jana, because I know you were there when it happened.
Yes.
We had this all designed, but we had no money. How is it we always have no money? I guess because we spend it all. But
You need to go back to how we found the gentleman that helped us design it first, because when you told me, well, I found this computer over about an hour away to, I'm going to go check it out. So we drove an hour away to check out this computer, and we were there 6 hours later because the gentleman that was selling the computer didn't want to talk about computers. He wanted to talk about Bible prophecy. So, but it was an awesome experience, because God supernaturally dropped a man who was way beyond his years back in the early 90s, the design world wasn't near as advanced as it is today. But John Linker was very advanced in that particular field. And so God handpicked this man to help us to create some images that were just wowing, that created this, the 15 by 20 flip chart that we created.
Yeah, well, the reason we went to look for a computer is because I'd been studying how do you do all these graphics to make them look like, you know, what kind of computer do we need? Well, he was advertising this computer for sale, and we were in Richmond. We drove over to Indianapolis, and we found him there, and he looked at us when we asked about the computer. He said, well, what do you want to use it for? And I told him about Bible prophecy, and like you say, immediately he didn't even talk about his computer. No. And then he looked at me and he said, I can do this for you. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I didn't know how to do it. So it's like God dropped the talent right in my lap.
Yes.
Right in our lap that helped us to do this. Right. And he's the one that did this marvelous art. Yep. For our prophecy chart. By the way, these are not available, so don't try to order them. We now have put everything in our video series. Yep. Matter of fact, we've now expanded it from 10 lessons to 14 because we understand more now than we did then. Right. But this chart has just gone all over the world. But now we got to talk about how we got it printed. Because once we got this all put together, I went to friends of mine, and I knew they had printed a chart, something like this, not nearly as, mainly two color and sort of plain Jane, but I was groping. I was all alone. I'm operating solo out here, and I didn't know how to get this done. Wow. Can you believe time has come and gone? We're going to have to pick it up here in our next edition of The Miracle Called End Time. One more time, if you want to be a partner with us, the number to call, 800-END-TIME. That's 800-363-8463. God bless you. See you later.
Do you want to know more about Bible prophecy? Now you can. Join Irvin Baxter in Garland, Texas on January 28th and 29th. Call 1-800-END-TIME or go to endtime.com/events for more information.
Is any sick among you? Today, your miracle is just a prayer away. James 5:15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. At the Holy Land Experience, prayer is available for your breakthrough. Many have received healing, salvation, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So come to the Holy Land Experience in Orlando, Florida, and begin to live your life in victory.